as I step in the pulpit. I have emotions just like you, and I do my best not to carry them into the pulpit with me, but sometimes they are overwhelming, just to be honest with you, as yours. But thank God when my heart is overwhelmed, I can go to the rock that is higher than I, and I can lean on Him. Amen. And so Hebrews 11 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now, if you would like to, you can turn all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, or you can just allow me to read it. It's up to you. I'm going to go ahead and start reading it now. Genesis 37, verse number 2 said, "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." If you can imagine this, this is a little brother telling on his big brothers. Verse number 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." Oh, you better believe that this baby got doted on. "Because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Father, in Jesus' holy name, I as humbly know as I know how, ask you, Lord, to help me, to protect me, Lord, from my own emotional state. Allow me, Lord, to preach in your power with your ability. I realize, Lord, that what I say tonight may impact the eternity of some that are sitting in here. And I pray, Lord, for your grace to convey the message that you've laid on my heart to your people. I pray, Lord, that as I preach, your power would be evident, your spirit would guide. Lord, we would do everything according to bringing you honor and glory. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We first meet Joseph when he's 17 years old. And he's in the pasture feeding his father's sheep. Now, in this time, shepherding was a very humble job. It didn't require much in the way of special training. I mean, there were certain things that I'm sure you had to know, but there wasn't really a special training. It's just kind of like you just got out there and done it. There was really no education requirements or anything of that nature, but it did require faithfulness. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight is faithfulness today. Joseph had to be faithful in a specific task at a specific place. The faithfulness that he had shown when he was 17 years old led to greater responsibilities and positions later in life. So while he was young, being faithful to the Lord had a great impact, and we see him again when he's in his late 30s and early 40s, and he is now the ruler over an entire nation simply because he was faithful in an earlier place in his life. To some people, let me say this, Joseph was faithful in the beginning of his life. He had faith in the middle of life's trials, and at the end of his life, he continued that faith in God to help his people, and it would help his people for generations to come. Matter of fact, we read about in the book of Genesis how that when they left out of Egypt, they carried up the bones of Joseph. They didn't leave him in there. They brought his bones out with them as a memorial and as a remembrance, not to leave him down there, but to bring him back over to the promised land. So to some, Joseph was just a little brother. To some, he was nothing more than a slave. To Potiphar, he was a trusted servant who turned adulterer in his eyes. To the guards, he was just a dreaming prisoner. To Pharaoh, he was a wise man. But to God, he was the preservation of the Hebrew people in the midst of a great time of famine and desolation. And I believe that we can see what Joseph learned simply by being faithful throughout his life. And so that's what I want to look at tonight, is faithfulness, or the faithfulness of Joseph and us having faithfulness today. I can't help but think every time that I listen to the Word of God. Now, we know, I know there's some dispute, and I hope maybe I can settle this. I've heard people literally argue over whether or not listening to the Word of God or actually reading the Word of God, which one was better. Well, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They are equally important. They are equally worthy, and you can get the Word of God in your mind both ways. So don't worry about what somebody else is doing. If one person reads the Bible and that's how they get it, let them read the Bible. If another person listens to the Word of God, let them listen to the Word of God. Do you think that every person who heard Moses preach had a copy of Moses' message? Absolutely not, but we do now. It's not about you and I and what we can achieve or what we can accomplish. It is about glorifying God in what we do and when we do it, friend of mine. Get the Word of God in you, and that, my friend, is the beginning of faithfulness. So I'm preaching to Christians tonight, at least I believe that I am. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, I hope that you will know Him before you leave today. That will be my goal too, but I want to primarily preach to you who may have let your faithfulness linger in the midst of situations. So let me give you this. First off, faithfulness is important to God. Amen. It is important to God. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Faithfulness isn't just a suggestion or recommendation. It is a requirement, and it is required of us by God. Nothing else. You and I are required of Him, according to 1 Corinthians 4:2, to be faithful in what we're doing and what the Lord has given to us to do. You be faithful right where you are, and God will bless you right where you are. There are a lot of people that have good intentions, and they never act on those intentions, and so therefore they become unfaithful when they say, man, I was gonna read my Bible, I was gonna go to church, I was gonna do this study, I had the best intentions. Friend of mine, intentions are not faithfulness. They are good to have good intentions, but they are not faithfulness. They are a substitute in our feelings for us being faithful to the service of the Lord. There was a story that I heard about a little woman. Y'all pray for me. I'm struggling connecting my mind. There was a story of a little woman who, she couldn't read, she couldn't write. She lived up in the mountains. And a preacher that I met a time or two who had preached for me, he'd go up there at this church where this lady attended every year, and he would preach in a revival meeting. And every year he noticed that little lady couldn't read, couldn't write, and she could barely really formulate sentences. But every day she would walk from the church house down to the creek behind the church, and she would get water, and she would bring it up, and she would pour a glass of water and set it on the pulpit. Year after year, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, that little lady, that's all she could do, was just bring it up there and pour in water. And that preacher, he didn't know that about her, and so he looked at the lady and he'd done made up his mind, I'm not going to drink that water. I don't know where that water came from. And so he went to the pastor about it, and he said, Pastor, this lady, every she brings a cup, I don't know where the cup came from. Some of y'all ain't never faced that fear. I don't know where the cup came from. I don't know who she is. I don't know who she does. But preacher, I'm just not comfortable drinking that water. And the pastor got that preacher, and he said, Preacher, let me tell you something. She can't read. She can't write. She can't do many things. But the only thing she can do is bring water and put it on the pulpit. And he said, I'm telling you, as long as I've been the pastor here, she has been faithful to bring that water. And he said, I have never, not one time, gotten sick. or anything of that nature. And that the preacher preached that night, and he looked there at the cup, and he looked at the water, and he got done, and he took a big gulp of it, and he said, "That was the most refreshing water I've ever had in my life." All because somebody that was faithful brought it to them. We're not required to be the best. We're not required to be the brightest. We're not required to be the most talented. But we are required to be faithful. God is not looking for somebody that is already the best. God's looking for somebody that's willing to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm not much, but what I am, I will go. What I am and who I am and what I have, I will give to you, Lord. Whatever it requires from me, Lord, I will do it." God is not looking for the best out there. He's looking for somebody to be faithful in what He calls them to do. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Proverbs 28, verse number 20, the Bible says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." You'll be faithful to what God's called you to do. Man, the blessings that you used to scoff at might be like that water that the lady brought to the preacher, and it'd be the most refreshing thing in your life. Just because you're faithful to what God calls you to do. Faithfulness is important to God. Little things are important to God. The songwriter had it correct when she penned the words, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name." God had Joseph feeding the flock, and that seems like something small and insignificant, but those sheep were the livelihood of his family. The little things that you don't think matter much in your Christian walk, those are the things that are examined by the Holy Spirit. This that you're seeing, what you see here, is the performance. That's what this is. This is the performance. But without the work prior to the performance, you won't have no preaching. You won't have any. You won't have the pastor that I hope that you love to hear. You won't have those things. You don't have. I like to run. I know I talk about running. I talk about running all the time, Miss Terry. I love to run. I love to get out there. I'm not fast, not the best, but I'm faithful. Amen. Consistent. You know what happened when I got faithful and I got consistent? I realized something happened. My feet started moving faster. You believe that? I got consistent getting up in the mornings and going out there and running around the track. And then I had these wonderful people called coaches, and I started listening to them. And they told me some things that I could do. They taught me to me about nutrition. They talked to me about hydration. And it's a little thing, man. Take 12 ounces of water with you on a 6-mile run. You take 2 ounces of water every mile. You stay hydrated even though you're pouring sweat off of you. I can't tell you how it works. I don't know, but I know this. I did it yesterday and I'm fine today. Somebody say amen right there. When we learn the little things that seem so unimportant in our lives, God takes those little things and makes them into something that we can use. Friend of mine, whatever the little thing is that you're neglecting, whatever the little minute thing is that you think doesn't matter, I promise you, God takes note of when you participate in it. God takes note of when you're doing it. God takes note of whether or not you are consistent with it. And if you will be, God will bless that. I've watched him too many times. You take one little old verse of the Bible, you meditate on that verse. You might not be the guy that reads 3 or 4 chapters a day. That's okay. You get a hold of that. Who was that? That's me and you talking about that this morning. You get a hold of that one verse and roll that verse around in your noggin for a little while. Take that thing and knock it around in there. Roll that verse back and forth, man. Lord, just use this little verse to help me. Lord, show me something out of this little verse. You faithful to that little verse, you go back to it. I promise you, by the end of the week, you're going to have a lot more out of that verse than you ever thought you would. Yes, sir.
If you can't do a whole verse, get a word out of the Word of God. Amen. Well, preacher, how do I understand that word? Well, good for you, and I want you to know this. The Bible is translated out of the Greek and Hebrew into the English language. And there were men that came along before you and I, and they wrote these wonderful books called dictionaries. Amen. So say it with me. Dictionaries. Amen. You get you a dictionary and you get you a Bible and you open up that Bible and you find a word and then you take your dictionary. Y'all catching on fast. You take that dictionary and you open up that dictionary and you find that word in that dictionary, and right next to that word in the dictionary is what's called a definition. Amen. And that definition tells you what that word means. So you can say that you don't understand, and you can say that you just can't figure it out. But if you get you another book and begin to read and study and get consistent and faithful in looking up something and getting a little bit more, God will bless that. These little things, they matter a lot to the Lord, and they matter a lot to you and I. I can do a lot of things right. Amen. But if I forget or I'm unfaithful in a little thing, the other day, Miss Tara was leaving the house. I don't even remember where she was going. And I was sitting around, I think I was doing a little bit of studying, but I was more so surfing social media and just kind of going bouncing back and forth. And she looked at me and she said, "Hey, would you mind putting these dishes in the dishwasher before you leave?" I think I was going somewhere else. And I said, "Yeah, honey, I'll do it. Yeah, I sure will. I got you, babe. All right, I love you too." She said, "I didn't leave, and you're not listening to me." And I thought, well, that's a weird way to start a conversation. I heard her, and I kept on, and I kept piddling around. And we got this wonderful thing on our phones called Life 360. Tells us where each other is. I got a notification. She wasn't far from the house. Guess who got his tail up and started washing dishes? Amen. Because I knew that it wasn't about the dishes.
Right. Come on. Come on.
Maybe I need to get right here. Guys, it wasn't about the dishes. It's about being faithful. And there wasn't but about six or eight little dishes in the sink. It didn't take me but about 5 minutes, quite literally. But it was about being faithful in a little bitty thing. And that little bitty thing, she didn't say. Now, I was kind of dismayed about this. She didn't say, "Congratulations, you have done dishes today." She did not meet me with that. She didn't look over there at the sink and start singing my praises about how great a man I was. She just looked in the sink. And then she went and done more work. And for people that think that stay-at-home moms don't do anything, man, y'all got it all backwards. Kudos to you ladies that work and keep the home. God bless you. Good job. I knew that that little thing was something that needed to be done. And it was something she asked of me. And I had a choice to make. Do the little thing or suffer the consequences. I chose to do the little thing. Now, if I do that in my marriage and it keeps peace, what about if I do those things with God? How much more that keeps peace between me and Him when I am obedient to Him, even in the things that are seemingly insignificant and do not matter. Luke 16, verse number 10 said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Faithfulness is available to everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least all the way to the greatest. Faithfulness today. One last thing I want to give you, and I'll be done. Faithfulness in little things leads to opportunities to bigger things. Matthew 25, verse number 21, the Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I don't usually speak too much about preachers that are still living today, because there's always the possibility that they could fall just like me. Those of you that went to Arise, I don't know how many of you caught this. Brother Kenny Baldwin was preaching that first night we were there, and he was preaching a great message. And he was talking about being a dreamer, and he said he walked into the auditorium of Victory Baptist Church in North Augusta, South Carolina, and there was a young man standing down there running a vacuum cleaner. He said he walked up to him, and he said, "Who, you know, my name's Kenny Baldwin. What's your name?" And he said, "I'm C.T. Townsend." That man's the pastor of that church now. An evangelist that God is using all over the nation to do incredible things. In 2016, the Burlington Revival hit and thousands were saved under this man's ministry. Praise God for what the Lord is using him to do, and thank God for what he's doing. But had he never vacuumed that carpet, had he never decided that he would be faithful in an area where nobody saw, had he not decided that he would be faithful in something that nobody would recognize, we would not have seen him in the capacity that we see him now. In this parable in Matthew 25, there are three servants, and we see a principle that is repeated all through Scripture. If we are faithful in a small task, God will trust us later with a larger, more important task. You guys, you have no idea what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to use you. And just because you're older doesn't mean that God's not got something for you too. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him. God might take a little while to prepare you. He might be working something in you. And just because you've went past the teen years doesn't mean that God's done with you. You've got a task. It might be that God wants you to be faithful. You're a preacher, I can't walk. Well, hey, go ahead and pray for your pastor. Can I get in that rubber? Well, there's not a whole lot that I can do. Just earlier today, Brother Lane, Miss Sharon, they come to me. I ain't even talked to anybody except for Miss Tara, because she was standing there with me when they said, and this is what I like. I'm going to brag on them. Y'all get mad at me if you want to. Miss Sharon, she said, "Preacher, we've been thinking about something." I said, "Well, what you got?" She said, "I want to have a fundraiser." All right. What do you want to do? She said, "I want to have a hobo supper." Some of y'all just said amen in your heart right there when I said that. She said, I want us to do a fundraiser like we've done before. She said, "I know there's projects around the church." She said, I know there's the parking lot and there's the youth thing, and Relaine said there's the walls downstairs that need to be redone. Just because we're debt free don't mean that we don't have projects around here. I promise you that. She said, "I want to do that." And I thought, this is incredible. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you know how many people that are Lane and Sharon's age walk into churches every Sunday and they could give a rip less about how the building condition is? They couldn't care anymore if their life depended on it. What things happen around the church, they don't give a rip. They just want to go in there and get consumer Christianity is what that is. They just want to get in there, get something out of it, don't want to give nothing back. Oh, no, friend, that don't last very long, and it equals up being something that harms you a whole lot more than it harms the church. I want to do this. I said, this is even more incredible because talking about, let's just lay it all out tonight. Here we go. Talking about the bottleneck at the last fellowship supper. You get 150 Baptists in a room, we're going to eat. You better believe that there were some minds standing down there the other day trying to think of everything we could do to speed this up and get food to people and make everybody happy, because that's what we want to do, right? I throwed my suggestion out there this morning, and it was met with some reason. Amen. Brother Canaan said, why don't we have some kind of fellowship? Maybe something, just something to see if this idea will work. And I said, well, we ain't doing nothing until November. Your ever optimistic pastor. And I didn't get no more than upstairs, Ainsley. You on the front row, you know how it works. And I got met at the door by somebody that wants to do something that'll take care of both the needs. This is the way it works. Maybe that's the reason why I got frustrated tonight. The Lord works in the ways that He wants to work. We've said the old adage, the Lord works in mysterious ways, when in actuality He doesn't really work in mysterious ways. He's just wanting us to be faithful in the things that He's already told us to do. And if it seems mysterious to us to be faithful, then we're the ones that have the problem, not Him. We choose each day whether we will long for a task that we have not been given or not equipped for, or we can right now seek to be faithful in each and every task, whether it's small or great, and God will take care of the things that we worry so much about. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." When you're giving God the glory, the size of the task or how the task is going to happen will be irrelevant. God will take care of it. Time out. I just said irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Time in. Be faithful today. Be faithful today. Faithful in the little things leads to opportunities. Little things are important to God. Faithfulness is important to God. Joseph exhibited these qualities, and God blessed Joseph's life so much so that Joseph is a type and a picture of the Redeemer in the Old Testament. That's how much of a highlight God put on Joseph's faithfulness as he served the Lord. Faithfulness today. Is there an area that you haven't been faithful in? Is there somewhere that... I know how it works. It's more like a slow leak than it is a blowout. It just kind of happens over time. Your love gets a little cold. Your desire languishes just a little bit. And before you know it, you're not walking with the Lord. Doesn't matter if you're the guy in the pulpit or the most prestigious person in the pew. We all deal with it. That's why we have this advocate with our Father that we can go to, and He can line us up. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, help me to be faithful each and every day to You, Lord. Help me be faithful to serve You with joy and with gladness. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to take care of the task, Lord, that we often overlook. Help me, Lord, to be faithful in all that You have called me to do. Help our church, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, take what we have and use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, help our people tonight. In Jesus' name. These altars are open.